Like my dreams.
Hey, need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee. And join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great song, and I know Irene will be sitting there rolling her eyes at me going, Mariska, again, you're doing Snoopy's Christmas again. But, well, you know what I said last week, that actually we've got a special guest on today who is going to be talking about dogs, so that is why I was allowed to play Snoopy again. So, Irene, stop rolling your eyes at me. But it is great to have on board this morning Kaz from Paws Perfect, and she is going to be just sharing a few tips with us about what it's like to have a puppy. And as I said last week, you know, as we think about the gifts we're getting people, we look in our kids' eyes and they go, oh, we want that puppy, mum and dad. And you go and you look at that puppy and it's got those big, gorgeous, gooey eyes. And actually, a puppy's not just for Christmas. So we thought we'd get Kaz on board and give us some few tips about what to look out for, thinking about what we do need to do post-Christmas, but also looking after our dogs at Christmas as well. Kaz, welcome along.
Oh, thanks, Mariska. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's absolute pleasure to chat with you, as always.
It is an interesting subject, and we hear this all of the time, don't we? And especially from the SPCA, you know, if you are going to get a pet, it is not just for Christmas.
That's so true. A lot of people get
excited at Christmas time, and they, as you say, see those cute little eyes looking up at them, and it's very hard to resist, especially when the kid's going, oh, mummy, please. So a puppy is a really cool addition to your family, and it's really good, important thing to think about, that that's what a puppy is, and it's addition to your family. It's not just a Christmas present. It's the life of the puppy. You know, when you get a puppy, you're offering them a forever home in your family. So there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah, like having another child, isn't it? Really? I mean, you have to think about it.
It is, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, because they're coming into your world with no skills, no training, and they usually need lots of help, like toilet training and learning to walk on a lead, come back when they're called, all those sorts of things, as, you know, just some of the basics. And you've got to learn how that puppy can enter your family and your lifestyle, as opposed to changing your lifestyle around to fit into a puppy.
So when
which will happen a little bit, I guess, as well.
Yeah, when you're thinking about selecting a puppy, I mean, I know, well, actually, I'm making a big assumption here. You're the expert, so you'll be able to correct me if I'm right. But usually when you select a older dog, it selects you. You don't select it, you know. Is that the same with a puppy? Is that something we should be aware of, that it's the puppy selecting us rather than, you know, you selecting the puppy? Or is it because it's so young that it would, you grow with it?
Well, there's really different schools of thought around that, and I've done both. So I've selected a puppy for a specific purpose for the show ring. So I'm looking for really good construction, and I'm measuring that puppy against a high, and I'm measuring that puppy against a standard, and so I'm wanting it to be a certain thing, not just a cute puppy that's going to join my family. But when I first started looking for a puppy, and my first puppy, my grandfather, who used to be a dog trainer, and he used to breed and show German Shepherds, and he said to me, go and sit in amongst all the puppies and your puppy will select you. The one that feels comfortable and relaxes with you, with your energy, is the puppy that is going to be really relaxed in your home environment. And I did that with a couple of puppies, and they worked out exactly like that. They were the puppy that stuck with me. And it doesn't always work that way. The first dog I did that to, the breeder said, I'm sorry, that puppy is not available. They're staying with me. So that didn't work. So not only the best match for me, but also the breeder's pick. So that was unfortunate. But that's one way of doing it. It's a really good way to match your energy, because the puppy will match your energy and select you. But most breeders have a pretty good idea of the energy match for the, if you're honest with them on your lifestyle and your family situation, they'll be able to match you quite well with your puppy.
You know, who cares? I don't think that's too much different than us humans. I think that would be a good idea, that we just went and sat with each other and thought, okay, which ones do I connect with? Talking about connecting with humans, also got Claire joining us today. And Claire, you've got a puppy? No.
No, I have got a dog. He's a Portuguese water dog called Elvis, and he's quite an old boy now. He'll be 12 next birthday.
Right. So, we're going to go from puppy to older dogs as well, and all that in between, to think, how do we look after them over Christmas? Now, something when you said before, Kaz, you said something about, you know, it's an addition to your family. So does that mean that this little puppy is going to keep me up at night, all of those things, just like a baby?
In the early stages, definitely. So if you're thinking of a wonderful, relaxed, cute, cuddly puppy at Christmas, also know you're in for a couple of sleepless nights of puppies screaming, because, you know, for want of a better way of putting it, you've just stolen that puppy from its family, and you're incorporating it into your world. So the puppy doesn't know what's going on, because they don't understand human just yet. So they're going to cry and be a little bit upset. So it's a couple of tips are to, if you can, have that puppy sleep near your bed. In a crate is a great thing. A cage is not a bad thing for your puppy to be in. It's really important that you teach them that. But we can talk about that. It's a whole other subject. But I think it's really important
that they can be near you, so they have that comfort factor. And when they start to cry in the night, you can calm them and settle them. Sometimes it's just a nightmare because they've woken up and their family's not around them. And if you can comfort them and let them go back to sleep, then you'll have a reasonably good chance of getting a couple of nights sleep sometime through Christmas. But I think it's the same as having children. I don't have human two-legged children, but I've been told by quite a few friends of mine that it's very similar to the early stages of having a baby, that they do wake during the night. And the trick is not to mollycoddle them too much, but to settle them and make them feel safe and then pop them straight back to bed.
I think Claire might be able to help us out on this one because listeners out there, you know, I don't have kids as well. So any wisdom there, Claire? You've obviously been through both of it.
Absolutely. And I was nodding away as Kaz was speaking there. Very similar to having children. I know when Elvis was a puppy, we did keep him in a crate because we're told that was the best. I know people think that's cruel, but it's actually the best thing to do. And you've just said that, Kaz. But sometimes, whether this is probably wrong, but sometimes it would cry and cry and I would go downstairs and I would lie by the crate and just stick my hand in the crate and touch him and we'd both just go to sleep like that. I know that's not ideal. But it just shows that they need that emotional connection. They're not a toy. They have feelings and emotions. And like you've said, they're away from the siblings and the mom. Just having that connection with them, it is really soothing for them. Just like a baby going over to the cot and knowing that you're there with them as well. So, yeah, very similar.
And I suppose when you think about it too, there's probably a lot going on at Christmas. We're all home, people coming, going. It actually was probably quite overwhelming, I could imagine, for a little pup.
Look, there's a lot of things you need to be careful of with young puppies. They go through lots of different things, and some of you may have heard the term fear period. And this is when puppies react to things in a sort of overreact to normal things, and it affects them quite dramatically. So it's a way of making sure that they feel safe all the time. And a lot of breeders and people who grow these puppies will have done a lot of those socialization and desensitizing things before they come to people. But, you know, things like popping of balloons, and on New Year's when you have those streamers that you pop, those, you know, random noises, champagne corks popping out of bottles. Those are kind of random noises that puppies may not have experienced yet. But to make, just be aware that they're going to potentially react a little bit differently to that than what we expect, because it's all new to them. So we just need to make them feel safe and make it not really mean anything. Fireworks is another thing. If you can just make them feel safe when that sort of stuff's going on. I've had dogs that have had completely different reactions to fireworks, some that sit there and watch them and some that hide under the table and anything in between. So it's just how you, some dogs will react differently to things as well. And just wanted to touch quickly back on that crate thing that we talked about before we kind of move past it. If you think back to the floods that we had in February the other year, when the devastating floods that we had around the country, if you're not home and someone goes to rescue your pet, the first thing they're going to do is put it in a crate for its own safety and protection. And if your dog is familiar with a crate and knows that it's a safe place, your dog is going to instantly feel safe and relaxed. That's why crate training is really important. When they go to the vet for any kind of procedure, the first thing the vet's going to do is put them in a crate. So it's not cruel. It's actually setting them up for success by making that experience a safe place for them. So I think it's really important that people, when they go to kennels, when you go on holidays, you put them in the kennels or in the daycare, they go into a crate-like situation. So, it's really important.
And I could just imagine, actually, you don't want the little beggar running around in the middle of the night pooping in places where you can't find it. Yep, I'd be happy where I knew exactly where it was going to go. Interesting you say about the noises. I'm not sure about the random champagne bottle cork.
random at this time of the year. It's actually a really good thing. And now I do just want to go on to the older dogs, but just before that, Kaz, training, when should we start? Like, I presume training is for both you and your puppy, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always say to people, when you're talking about training, puppies know how to sit. They do it all by themselves. So the training is teaching your puppy what the word sit means to you, so that they can then know, oh, it means put my bum on the ground and you're going to give me a treat. So it's all about helping both of you to communicate together so that you get a really positive outcome, and that your dog learns how to be a really good member of your family and how to make you happy and how to fit in with everybody and do all the human-y type things and not get in trouble for it. So that's the whole point of training. Also makes it easier for them to do lots of things like go to vet visits and go for a walk at the park. People want to take their dogs and let them run free, but there's no point letting them do that if they don't come back. So that's all these things are all covered in training. And it does start from the very beginning, the very day you bring your puppy back. You can start doing lots of little puppy training things. And then you can, depending on what you want to do and where you want to go, you can go down lots of different rabbit holes of different types of training.
Yeah. And so Claire, did your Elvis never come? Well, he obviously came back because you've still got him. But do you have fun getting him back?
Yeah, it's funny, actually, because before Elvis, we had a boxer called Ruby, and it was a friend who couldn't look after Ruby, so we took Ruby on board. And I didn't know anything about boxers. Well, I've got to say, their recall, please agree with me here, Kaz, is not good. And they are the strongest dogs in the world. It's lucky I've still got two arms. I thought they'd come out the sockets. So going back to, like, training, that was so important with Ruby. But unfortunately, we lost Ruby when she was four, and that was, again, the gate was open and she just ran and there was just no getting her back. So when choosing the breed that we went for with Elvis, Portuguese water dog, you know, recall was really important. And I think it's for anybody that is going to purchase a dog. It's if you've got children, you know, are they good with children? Are they good on the recall? Can you control them? A Ruby would have taken their arm out the socket. So we sort of like researched for Elvis, and it just came up Portuguese water dog. So we thought, oh, that's it. That's what we'll do. And he's been amazing, and he did go to puppy training, but his recall is amazing. You know, I'll just say Elvis, and he's here, you know, and that took a lot of treats along the way to get to that. But, you know, he's a very intelligent dog as well, and I'm not taking anything away from the boxer, but I don't think they were born with lots and lots of brain cells, unfortunately. So, yeah, and training.
I have to argue with you there. As you know, Claire, I'm super biased when it comes to boxers because they're obviously my dog of choice. And if you do a little bit of research on them, you'll discover that, just we're getting sidetracked here on breed, but boxers were actually originally used by the German army. They're actually conscripted into the German army as their war dog before German Shepherds and all those sorts of Dobermans and everything, because of their agility and they're very quick to learn. The challenge with the boxer, it's a secret, most boxer owners know it now, is you've got to find what motivates them, because they're very headstrong, like any bull breed. If they're not motivated to do it, they will not do it. They'll choose their own path. So, yeah, it's the finding the motivator. But, yeah, Portuguese water dog, beautiful dogs.
Everything you're saying, it is. It's just having a human, isn't it? It's just like having a human. For our listeners out there, you just want to see the passion on these two ladies' faces as we're talking about their boxes. But, again, you know, thinking about that training, and for any of you that are in Auckland or coming up to Auckland, Kaz is up in North Albany and does a huge amount of training that helps you figure out how to connect with your dog and make it part of the family. Now, Kaz, I just want to go on, and Claire, you'll also know, having a dog for so long, what are the things? So the dog's part of our family, Christmas time's manic. What are some of those tips that we can have to keep our dog happy, safe, you know, and being part of the family during this manic
festive season?
Oh, look, I've got so many things. Long chews. So what I mean by long chews is something that they can chew on. Oh, cute puppy. I'm going to have to get mine in the photo soon. What you can't see probably is that Irene's just joined us and has got her cute puppy on screen. But yes, it's important to give them something that they can chew on to keep them busy. And another thing you can also do is do trick training. Teach your dogs a new trick a day over Christmas holidays. You got kids, get them involved in doing that. Teach them to spin, teach them to roll over, go find my socks, go get my keys. Really, really useful one. So there's so many things you can do to keep them occupied and busy. But Claire, you've had a dog for 12 years. That's a really wonderful age to have a silver. I call boxers go silver when they get older. So we call them our silvers, which are really special to have silver dogs. So, Claire, what do you reckon? What do you do with Christmas?
I just talk to him. And I'm sure, I believe 100% he understands what I say. So, for example, now and again, the ladies, we all get together here. It's a sunny day at the weekend and we'll do dance out on the front deck as a bit of it. And I tell him, Elvis, the ladies are coming today. And he wags his tail. And then when they knock on the door, he knows. So it's not a surprise. And he'll come downstairs and they'll pat him. And I always make him the priority. So there's a knock at the door or someone's coming. I'm like, oh, Elvis, let's go see. So he's all excited and it feels like he's part of all the activities. I never lock him in a room, or if there's a lot of people about, take him away. I introduce him into the situation. And I think he's really, really comfortable just being part of everything that we do.
And that's awesome. It's really cool. One thing that I do know, and I'm sure I'm 100% I do know this, no chocolate.
No chocolate.
No.
Well,
or grapes.
No chocolate. The darker the chocolate, the worse the impact.
So no chocolate.
So keep those to yourself is really, really important. And also, just before we leave, because we've run out of time, but just before we leave, what foods can we share? Can we share that stuff off our plate, or just keep just a few little dog treats only?
I think it's safer to stick to your dog treats if you're not sure. But there's lots of things you can do, like a little bit of roast pumpkin. It's really good for your dogs. A lot of dogs really like that. A little bit of Greek yogurt if you're sharing something from your cereal or your dessert. A little bit of ice cream. I think it's like the same with us over Christmas, moderation. You know, if you're going to give your dog some human food, do it in moderation. Some berries are okay. My dogs love a bit of Greek yogurt and blueberry. And if you freeze it up, it's like a little ice cream popsicle, that kind of thing.
I think that's where we're going to have to leave it, moderation. Did you hear that, guys? Everybody out here, you're listening, moderation. It's moderation, apparently. We'll throw that one out the window. But anyway, listen, if you want to get hold of Kaz from Paws Perfect, we will put her details up on our Facebook page. As I say, she's out there in North Albany, up in Auckland. So if you need a little bit of puppy training, that you did get that puppy because the kids wanted that puppy and you have no idea what you're doing now, Kaz will help you and your family keep that safe. Look, Kaz, great to have you. Claire, great to have you. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll be able to drag them back next week. But I think also, a little surprise for you next week, I reckon we've got Irene just popping back in to wish us all a Merry Christmas and tell her how she's getting on as well. So we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
$1 billion. The question is, who let the dogs out?
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 Well, the party was nice, the party was bumping.
Hey-ya.
And everybody having a ball.
Hey, hey.
Until the fellas started in calling. And the girls respond to the call. I have a poor one shot.
Who let the dogs out? Your language.